Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning and also watched the new era. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 45, Drop the Four, Keep the Five, episode 3, No Man Left Behind. And you know
And
who's
Chris,
not leaving a man behind? Marianne's fiance, because she's engaged now.
I feel like Marianne is not leaving the man behind.
Well, either way, neither of them are leaving anybody behind. They're engaged.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations to Marianne Oketch.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Also, we got some listener mail.
Okay.
Brian emailed us again. He's emailed us a few times. He said, "Chris and Patrick, honestly, I mostly listen to podcasts now since Survivor 40, season 45 started, with my rotation being Tyson's podcast, the On Fire podcast with Jeff Probst, and your podcast. Thank you for never missing a week and keeping the podcast coming. I do love music though, so I'll make a couple album recommendations."
Ooh.
He said, "New albums, the Barbie album. Shout out to the songs by Ice Spice, Charli XCX, and Ryan Gosling's cover of Push by Maxbox 20.
I don't know that we recommended that over the summer, because we then had like a long break from recording, but we didn't really recommend the album, but the movie Barbie was excellent, and I should be listening to that album more.
Yeah, it's great. And he said, older but still great, an album called The Days We Had by Daywave. I probably listen to this album monthly."
Oh, interesting. I've never heard of that.
So, The Days We Had by Daywave. So, check it out, listeners, or Patrick, give it a listen.
Not Chris, though.
Well, I was the one reading the email.
Okay.
I had my students listening to the Barbie album this week a little bit. They were very into it. So, I've been on that front, just not the Daywave.
These we had from 2017. I'll check that
Yes.
out. It is per my music app. It is described as an intoxicating debut of bittersweet dream pop, which dream pop sounds very enticing to me. I'll totally check this out.
All right,
This one's
good.
awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian, for emailing us some suggestions. Listeners who aren't Brian, you can also email us suggestions. Don't put all of their burden on Brian. Let other people email us stuff.
Yeah, totally agreed.
All
It
right.
would be great, specifically, listeners. Like, really hear me out here. If you could send us some music recommendations for next week, because next week's episode is called Music to My Ears. So we could have like a whole music segment.
That's true.
Don't let us down.
Email us those suggestions at tribalpodcast@gmail.com.
Nope. What did you?
Tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
There we go.
It's in the description.
Yeah. Let's talk about this week's episode, starting off with Lulu, night
Of
five.
course, it's Lulu.
Lulu losers. Sabaya
Yeah.
says, "In the Marines, we have no concept of no man left behind."
That's the name of the episode. Why? Why is it the name of the episode? She says it in the first like sentence of the episode, and like, is it just because they thought it was funny that she says "No man left behind" and then gets
He's
voted
left
out?
behind. I think so. I think that's
Okay.
it.
I was like, it's just not that funny to me. I don't get it. I was very shocked that that was so early in the episode. It's
Yeah, it
very
was like
confusing.
right away. She does also return Emily's shot in the dark right away. Caleb comments on Emily's growth. And Jeff's reveal of the votes told Emily that something fishy was going on because majority vote was happening after like two votes, and she was like, "That seems suspicious. There should be more votes than that." And so Emily was like, "What the heck's going on?" And Sabaya's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I voted for sure."
Well, okay, I want to talk about this because there was something about this scene that bothered me, and I've seen no one on the internet and no podcast address whatsoever, and I keep waiting to see someone like figure out an answer for this, and I don't, no one else seems to care. But as Emily is doing this, she's talking it out like with the whole tribe, and she says, "Sabaya, did you vote?" Why does she ask Sabaya? Why not Caleb? Why not Sean? why is she like, she seems to know from the very beginning that it was Sabaya that didn't vote.
I think she just trusts Sabaya the least of the of her tribe.
Okay. I guess that is fair. I was just so surprised that she like called out Sabaya specifically for not voting and was right about it. And I was like, why? How does she know? And my possible solution was that she also asked Sean and Caleb, but those are less interesting questions. And so those ones got cut.
Yeah. But, I mean, that very well could have happened also. They just showed us the Sabaya stuff because that's what matters to us.
Okay. I don't feel fully settled with that, but that's fine. I don't think I'm ever going to.
We get to spend some time with Bello, where Jake is blowing into the fire to hope the fire get blowing and tries to stand up and takes a little bit of a tumble onto the ground. But we saw this in the preview. It mostly just seems like he's lightheaded from breathing into a fire, and it's not really talked about again.
It's more than that. Like, he describes like not really remembering it.
Yeah.
Later.
Right.
It's more than he just like was lightheaded and lost his balance. Like, there is like a,
I think it's mostly that he's just not used to having experienced that before.
Oh, I think that there is a lot more of like, because he then describes how his like body is starting to break down and stuff like that, and that it is not just that he was breathing in smoke, it is also that he's like barely eaten in 6 days and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It did look like a mini seizure. It looked kind of intense, and no one seems to care after this.
Well, I would imagine
a little med check or something, but
I think people probably handled it differently than what they showed to us. Like, it is not going to become a further plot point in the season, and so they didn't show us more of it.
Yeah, that's fair. But that means that, like, if it does get handled like a big deal, I will feel like it is a bigger plot point in the season.
Well, then I think
they would've... I don't know that I agree with you. Like, Brandon was struggling and needed like fluids and was given fluids in the beginning of season 44, and they like made a big deal about that and showed that, and it didn't matter.
Well, it did. He's gone. I think that added to him like not being able to keep up with being on the island.
No. I'm not talking about this Brandon. I'm talking about season 44.
Well, okay.
Yeah, he made it quite a bit after that, but he like, yeah. I don't know. I was just surprised that we didn't get more about that. It did seem to be a bonding moment between him and Kendra.
Yeah, he says to Kendra, I'm boys with everyone. I'm boys with you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. And he...
Actually, when you said that, and given our previous conversation, that really sounds like a Ryan Gosling as Barbie quote.
Oh, yeah. Kendra then says about Jake, he's easygoing. I'm... me is what she says. I was like, okay, Kendra, you can be you. On Reba, we've learned that Austin stored some worms in the crab pot, but guess what? Crab ate those worms. They're not for you anymore.
They also just seem disappointed about this. Like, oh damn, there's a crab in the pot instead of worms. It's like, well, then eat the crab instead. Yeah.
Austin figured out where the palm tree X was that they need to dig for. And so there's like a whole storyline of him kind of digging in that spot. And Austin and Drew are digging in that spot. And they're supposed to be like, one of them supposed to be on lookout for D and Jay for if they come by, and they don't do very good job like looking out for that. And so D and Julie completely stumble across Drew just completely just digging, looking for an idol very clearly. And Drew tries to cover it up by being like, yeah, we saw Sifu digging here, so we figured there was something here. Which, to be fair, I thought was like an okay lie, but it's impossible to lie your way out of that situation.
I thought it was a very bad lie, because the whole thing is that they are supposed to have recently made this like four-person alliance, and like, cool, we really trust each other. So then it is just like, well, okay, even if that's true, why didn't you tell me you saw Sifu digging here? Why are you digging? Like, include me on this plan.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was impossible to lie their way out of that situation. So I was like, I guess that's like a valiant effort, but you're not going to be able to lie your way out of that situation. Yeah.
That is why I think I would just tell the truth.
we go to the reward challenge where they start on a platform and they have to like swim through the, or go through the water. Then they toss a ball into a track and have to race through obstacles. They catch and shoot their obstacle or their like ball into a basket. And then the first three rings, they have to throw the rings onto a target to get the win here. And the reward is a bunch of fresh fruit for the first tribe, and the second tribe to win gets a little bit less fresh fruit, and third tribe gets nothing.
There's a part of this challenge, like a huge part of this challenge, where, as you described, they have to like throw a ball up and then like run under and catch it before it falls down. That I thought looked very, very fun. We've seen it before, seen variations of that before, but I think it looks very fun every time, except that like if I failed the first or second time, I would feel like it was impossible. So that's rough. But while I was watching it, couldn't help but think like, I really think Brandon would have not been able to do this.
Oh yeah. He would have been decimated by this challenge. He would have been really bad.
Yeah. They also, this challenge started them in the water just so that they could swim to the beach and do everything else. And I very much was like, they didn't need to be in the water. There is no reason for there to be a water part of this challenge. They could have just started on the beach. It would have been fine. And like, it didn't really affect anything. They all basically got to the beach at the same time.
Just a little bit to tire them out. At the end of the challenge, Lulu ends up getting a win, their first victory.
Because Caleb fucking rocks it with the throwing.
Yeah. And there was even like a mini thing where you see Caleb talking to Sean. I think they're trying to strategize like about throwing the discs. And I think Caleb was basically like, I got this. You can go stand back. I got it covered. And so they get the win. Reba gets second and Bella loses. And part of Lulu's victory is they get to send somebody to raid another camp. And so they send Caleb to raid a camp, which we find out a little bit more shortly after, which the little bit more we find out is that he can also steal. He gets to steal an item, but he also gets to give a goodwill advantage to somebody on the tribe he goes to. And we find out that he goes to Reba. Steals their fishing gear, other than their spear, and gives the goodwill advantage to Drew.
Yes. He also like pulls them out to talk to each of them one by one, which feels like a bold move. And they all kind of are like, man, he's a salesman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested how that is going to affect like how they view Caleb moving forward. Because in some senses, there's like a positive, like he got to build some one-on-one relationships there. But I also could see them being like, I don't know about this guy. He seems a little too strategic or too social or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they're very much like, oh, he's a salesman. He's just sweet talking all of us. He gives Drew the goodwill advantage, which says that he can restore a lost vote at a tribal council, which they don't like really talk through the specifics of it, but I would imagine that does not work for like a shot in the dark lost vote, but like you've lost your vote situation.
Yeah, I think it counts for like a beware advantage, really any beware, like whether you haven't found the idol yet and so you don't have a vote, or we saw or we see that like part of the twist of these beware advantages is that once they do find them, they still are short term and they can sacrifice votes in order to make them longer term. And I think that this restored vote would allow you to be like, okay, I am sacrificing my vote here to make my idol go longer, but I'm using my goodwill advantage to still vote any.
So you think it's like a private, like you don't have to publicly talk about the goodwill advantage?
Oh yeah, no, I bet it's just in the voting booth.
Yeah, so on Reba, Drew's the one who gets the goodwill advantage, so he knows about it, but he also immediately tells like his core group, which is Dee, Austin, and Julie.
To be fair, the reason, or not to be fair, I guess, to say more, whatever that word would be, Caleb asked Drew, like, hey, so we heard that you went on the reward from Brandon, or on the journey from Brandon, how did that go for you? And Drew tells him that he got the safety without power, and Caleb is like, cool, you gave me something, I'll give you something. Like, you gave me info, so you seem to trust me, I will give you this.
Yeah. On Lulu Tribe, we see they're enjoying their fruit, their victory from their win. Sean and Sabaya have an alliance. They're worried about how strong Caleb is in the challenge, or was in the challenge, and they're thinking about maybe getting rid of him, which this whole storyline, I was like, you have lost. You finally won a challenge, and you're like, you know what? Not a big deal. Let's get rid of the guy who like helped us win this challenge.
Yeah, they were like, eventually we're going to have to like work with other people to get rid of him, and that's a bad thing. And I was like, no, it means that you can let them do your dirty work and like keep him as a shield.
Yeah, like take the win.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, you are playing like it is like Final Five and not Final 16 right now.
Right. Yeah, and so they like go to Emily fairly quick with this, and Emily's in somewhat of a tough spot because she's like, Caleb's the one she's bonded with the most, and so she's like, okay, I'm connected to Caleb, but these other two are like, let's get rid of Caleb. And that's kind of where we're left with the tribe at this point.
Yeah, she does a great job of like claiming that, like, okay, cool, yeah, like agreeing, which I'm only impressed because it's Emily, because she has said like that she's not gonna be good at lying, and she isn't super great of like hiding her emotions or hiding how she feels. And she does that pretty well here with them. So
yeah,
that's good.
From there, we get a little bit of time with Bello, where Jake, Bruce, and Brando go off fishing to bond a little bit, leaving the women to discuss some strategies. Kendra talks about how she had conversations with Jake, and so she vouches for him. Keturah is trying to like subtly push for Bruce to get out because she's super annoyed by Bruce. And so then we also see Kelly talking to Brando just to like kind of bridge that gap between men and women. And she is basically trying to push for Bruce also. And so we leave their tribe thinking like it's either Bruce or Keturah that would be the ones that would be out if they went to tribal council.
Yeah.
However,
we also get like, we got not much from them. So I was like, they're probably safe.
Yeah. Yeah. We get a little bit more time with Reba as well. Where Austin tells Dee and Julie about his Beware advantage. He just lies about when he found it, because he like, they already stumbled across him digging for stuff. And so, or Drew digging for stuff. And so he tells them a little bit about it, but just lies about when he found it basically. But I mean, it doesn't really matter. They already kind of saw through all of it. So they kind of go looking through stuff together of like, hey, we need to try to find this thing. Dee and Julie find this rope buried under the palm tree marked with an X. They pull it up and it leads to a hammer, which says that they need to break rocks near the water well. They try to hide it fast just to hide it from Jay, which they, I think they like kind of do. Like, are they like, Jay knows they were looking for idol stuff, but I don't know if Jay actually knows that they found anything.
Yeah, they kind of just like, hey, come look with us. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. They eventually get the hammer to Austin and Drew, who go to the well to smash rocks. And they eventually get a note that says that they have found the immunity idol. And it is good for one tribal council. And they can extend it farther if they sacrifice more votes, basically. Which is mostly important because on Lulu, we have the same sort of idol that's eventually going to show up at tribal council. And so the current idol that they have lasts for the next tribal council I go to. If they sacrifice another vote, it'll last till the merge, basically. And if they can sacrifice one more vote, it'll last till the final five.
Yes. Which feels, I have like mixed feelings about this, because there's part of me that is like, they already had to do kind of a lot of work to get this idol, but then like they have to keep doing more things. My theory is that the producers kind of liked the, like, you might lose your vote, you have to do something to get your idol part of the Beware advantages from, like, 41 to 44, but it just kept happening, or I guess they didn't exist in 44, so 41 to 43, but it just kept happening that people were, like, gaining their vote back before they ever went to tribal council, and they were like, no, we want people to have to risk their vote. So they made it like this instead, which I'm kind of okay with.
Yeah, I liked it, especially how it ends up shaking out this episode. Like, it was a very cool.
Oh yeah, that this
strategy.
Episode, this tribal council is like the most excited I've been for a tribal council in a very long time.
Yeah,
it was really intense.
Yeah. So before we get to the tribal council, we have the immunity challenge, which is stuff we've seen before, where they have to go through an obstacle course, carry puzzle pieces. They have to assemble this huge puzzle. This time it's like a puzzle that works out to be a cube.
Which did seem like a cool puzzle. Like, I liked this type of puzzle, where it's like the whole tribe, or, you know, four people on the tribe have to work on it, rather than like, okay, you get to the puzzle part and like two people or one person takes it for everybody. I liked this, like, the whole tribe is working on this, like, giant Rubik's Cube-esque puzzle.
Right.
That was more fun for me.
Yeah.
Lulu seems to be doing great at this challenge.
Lulu sucks ass at puzzles.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. It turns out it wasn't just Brandon that was bad at puzzles. All of Lulu, bad at puzzles.
Yeah, no wonder they kept trusting him to do the puzzle, because they're like, look, we're bad too, but we're not saying we're good.
I thought maybe Emily would be good at him. I don't know. They're all bad, it turns out.
I have a suspicion that Emily is kind of good at them, but being the caller on this puzzle, like, where you
can, that was a bad spot for her. Yeah,
is not helpful.
Yeah, like, this is a sort of, this
needs someone to be like the caller.
Agreed. I was surprised this puzzle had a caller, because I don't think it really needed a caller.
Yeah, I totally agree. But listeners, if you for some reason didn't watch the episode, which I don't know if you're why you're listening to us, if that's true, but they had one person who was like off to the side and like kind of raised up a little bit and could like give directions while everyone else manipulated the puzzle. But it was not that big.
Yeah.
Like, that's helpful when it is this like giant, like 20-foot by 20-foot sliding puzzle or something like that we've seen before. But this one didn't need that, I don't think.
It's just kind of weird, because like last week's episode also had a puzzle that Brandon sucked on, but they were like, they could call for that too. Like, they could talk. It's not like they were like muzzled and they weren't allowed to talk during that.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, Bella was the first to the puzzle, followed by Lulu and Reba. But Lulu ends up falling way behind. Reba gets the win, and then Bella gets second, and Lulu... Poor Lulu. Lulu Losers is the one who's heading to tribal council.
This was like a beautiful moment in the episode, though, like in editing and cinematography and stuff, because like usually when people are winning immunity challenges, it's this very happy moment. And they did this really cool thing where they just like are playing really sad music amidst like Jeff announcing that Reba has won and Bello has won. And like they're all celebrating and we're just like getting sad music, watching Emily and Sabaya and Caleb and Sean just like start crying, basically. And it's really focusing on them losing rather than the other people winning, which is the opposite of what we usually get. And yeah, Jeff said in his podcast that like they really wanted to focus on like their devastation rather than the other people's celebration,
right?
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So we get a little bit of time with Lulu before tribal council, which is basically like split between, it's going to be Sabaya or Emily. Sabaya and Sean are pushing for...
What?
Or not Sabaya and Emily. Sabaya and Caleb, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. So Sabaya and Sean are pushing for Caleb to go because they see him as a challenge threat. And Emily's talking to Caleb and being like, well, I'm kind of bonded with you and they're throwing your name down, so maybe we should throw out Sabaya's name. And that's mostly what we get. We also hear that Sabaya is planning on throwing her wax idol into the fire when they get to tribal council, which we talked about last week of like, is that a possibility? Can you do that? Turns out we find out this episode, you can do that.
Yeah. There is a interesting thing where Sabaya and Caleb are talking and they're like, yeah, it's clearly Emily. And Caleb's like, what do I tell her though? And Sabaya's like, tell her it's me. I'll tell her it's you. We'll act like we're against each other. Which makes Emily going to Caleb and being like, hey, they're throwing you under the bus. We should vote for Sabaya. Interesting, because Caleb is like, they told me they were going to tell you they're throwing me under the bus. So is this real or not? And right. Emily's like, this is 100% real, though. Like, I'm serious. They're going to they're voting for you. You need to vote with me here. Which just makes this... We don't know what he believes going into tribal council. But I, as they're going to tribal council, was like, I'm pretty sure currently Sabaya doesn't have a vote. I don't know if she's going to get it because of this wax idol thing. But I'm pretty sure currently that Sean might vote for Caleb. Caleb might vote for Emily because if he believes Sabaya. And then Emily's going to vote for Sabaya. And it's going to be a 1-1-1 tie.
Oh, I didn't think there was any chance of him voting Emily. Just because, like, we also saw him also say, like, he was willing to go to rocks for Emily.
Oh, I, like, my heart was racing going into travel council. I was like, I have no fucking idea what is about to happen. I, like, stopped myself from looking to see how much time was left in the episode because I was like, I don't know what's about to happen here. I'm so intrigued. I was kind of hoping for, like, a 1-1-1 vote because I thought that would have been very fun. But I also, we get to travel council and Sabaya immediately puts the wax idol into the fire. And so then I was like, well, is she gonna get her vote back? I don't know how this works. How's this gonna affect the vote? It was all very exciting.
She did very smartly bring a stick to tribal council with her to help, like, move the wax figure around in the fire, which was smart.
And prepped Sean to have a whole canteen full of water so that when she pulls, when it eventually melts and she pulls it out, they can, like, dump water on it to help it cool down and stuff.
Yeah.
I was impressed by how prepared she was for this.
Yeah. They did also talk about at tribal council. Something that kind of bumped with me was Caleb mentioned that fishing gear that they stole from the other tribe wasn't useful because they don't have fire. And I was like, you can eat raw fish, man. Like, what are you talking about? You can still catch fish. Like, you don't have to cook the fish.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that it's, yeah, you can eat raw fish.
Yeah,
they might have been told that they can't.
Like, I mean, if I'm starving for a week and I'm not eating food, I'm going to be eating some raw fish. I'm going to have some sushi.
Yeah, I mean that, like, they might have been told that, like, that's dangerous and that they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore those instructions.
Yeah, okay.
Sabaya stokes the fire, moves her idol around, eventually pulls it out.
It would be really great if they brought some fish to tribal council.
Just cooked it on the fire?
On the fire.
Yeah, they should do that. Sabaya ends up pulling this little, like, scroll tube from the fire, and she ends up taking it, like, into the voting booth with her, which we find out it's the same one that Austin got earlier. So it tells her that she could, like, use it as an idol tonight, or she can sacrifice her vote to make it last longer.
Okay, but she gets it from the idol, or from the wax, and just, like, sticks it in her pocket and is like, I'll read this later, because she's not going to read it in front of everybody.
Right.
And then I was like, wait, but does she ever, like, what's going to happen when she goes up there? I feel like she doesn't have her vote until she reads it. What's going to happen? Because I didn't really think about the fact that she could, like, read it up there. Because I assumed that they would, like, have to know if she has a vote or not before she goes to vote. Which turns out that's not really true.
Yeah, she can just read it up there and they can be like, okay, we're going to take your voting slip away.
Well, she said in exit press that she was like, production had to kind of step in and tell me that I had to read it because I needed to know that the idol expired, this tribal council. So they, like, when she went up to the voting booth, they were like, you have to read that before you vote.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be either she has no vote or she reads it to find out about her idol. Like, she can't have both.
Yeah, if I were playing, would have maybe argued that, like, originally when I got the Beware Advantage, it said that until I have the idol, I don't have a vote. And this is the idol. And so,
no, but it's not. You don't know it's the idol. You haven't read it. It could be another clue for another step of the puzzle.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And so, like, until she reads it, she doesn't know that's the final step of the thing. We only know that because we saw it happen to Austin already.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, anyway, she gets this and then has to decide on the fly, do I play an idol this round right now, or do I sacrifice my vote? And she's like, well, I'm pretty sure that Emily and Sean are both voting for Caleb and that Caleb's going to vote for Emily. That's, like, I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. So my vote's not necessary here anyway. So I'm sacrificing my vote.
Yes, which also
which is the wrong decision.
Also ends up sacrificing herself. And as she gets voted out, she exits with apparently they have a chant that goes, who? Lulu?
Lulu?
Which it seems kind of weird to have a chant for a tribe that just keeps on losing.
I mean, like, have you never interacted with NFL teams at all?
Like, yeah, but those NFL teams have been around for like 100 years. This tribe's been around for a week and they've done nothing but lose. So it's like,
no, they won a reward challenge. They won this a reward time.
Challenge. Yeah, we saw a lot of good that did them. So Sabaya is gone with an idol in her pocket, so that is gone from the game. We get a preview for next week that shows that there's going to be a tribe shuffle.
So I was going to ask how you thought this tribe shuffle was going to happen, But then Chris texted me a couple days ago and said, hey, I got spoiled on what the new tribe is, tribe shakeup is. Do you want to see it? And I was like, no. So
yeah, so I can't talk about that because there's a Facebook like survivor fantasy thing that already has this tribe set out. So I already know what the new tribes are going to be.
So I was going to ask, do you think this is going to be three tribes of five? Or do you think they're going to do like I think they did in Fiji and in Gabon, maybe, where they did like, went down to two tribes and did like two tribes of seven with one person who like is on exile or whatever until the next tribal council and they join the losing tribe. I'm pretty sure that it's going to be three tribes of five because I tried to avoid any spoilers of how those were set up, but I did see already a preview for next week and there seems to still be three colors of buffs happening in the preview. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be three tribes of five, but what I will ask you is, do you think that this was planned to happen, or do you think that this is happening because Lulu is down to three?
I don't think they're allowed to do changes like this on the fly. I think it's got to be planned.
I would think that they would be allowed to have like contingent of like, if one tribe loses the goes to tribal council three times in a row, then we can do this.
I mean, a tribe shake up four episodes in, isn't that unrealistic? Like, that's very reasonable. Yeah, thing for Survivor to do.
I would hope that you are right. I just am like, it's possible that this is because,
I mean, we've seen them go down to two people on a tribe, so I don't, like, they could do that.
Yeah, you're right.
We do need to pick a MVP of this episode.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Sure.
3, 2, 1, D.
Emily.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like
that's not, sorry, that shouldn't be surprising to me. I think that Emily played very well this round.
I think she's really turned it around from being on the bottom to being like helping lead, getting somebody off her tribe.
I have a general rule where I don't like to choose someone who lost and had to go to tribal council as my MVP.
Yeah.
So, yes, Emily made a very big move to get Sabaya out, a very effective move to get Sabaya out and keep Caleb. D found out about Drew and Austin's idol and caught them in a lie and didn't like cause a big fight and used it to gain their trust while also knowing in the background, like, maybe I can't fully trust them. And so that's why I chose D there.
I'm kind of curious how that's going to go with their tribe because they haven't really been tested at all. I mean, no tribe has been tested yet other than Lulu.
Well, and with a shakeup, no tribe has been tested yet.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes with all of them.
Yeah. And some of them have stuff. So like our group of advantages, we have that Austin has an idol for one tribal council plus possible extension. And Drew has safety without power advantage and the goodwill advantage. I think that's it right now.
Yes, that is it. Everyone on Reba knows about both of Drew's advantages, but Austin, Drew, D, and Julie are the other ones that know about Austin's idol.
Yeah, so
which means that Jay and Sifu do not.
Yeah. Yeah. So fantasy wise for all of that, Patrick is currently in the lead with 7 players and 380 points, and I'm second with 7 players and 361 points. Keeping it close-ish. We'll see how it goes. For season-long predictions, or episode predictions, last week we predicted the episode title would be said by Jeff or Bruce, and we were wrong. It was said by Sabaya. And we predicted the next boot would be Bruce or Sabaya, and Patrick was correct. It was Sabaya.
Woo! First correct prediction of the season. I had forgotten that I said that, so I'm pretty proud of that one.
Yeah, so we need to pick our next set of final three, which I would imagine both of us are probably keeping the same because those people are still around. So I have Kelly, Sifu, and Jake, and Patrick has Kelly, Austin, and D.
I feel great about my Kelly, Austin, and D. How do you feel about yours?
Fine. I don't know about Sifu mostly, but oops, I put that in the wrong spot. Sifu is the wild card because I don't think he's actually ingrained in his tribe, but because we're about to do a shakeup, that could change easily. The next episode title is Music to My Ears. followed by 2 weeks from now, I don't want to be the worm. So I don't know if that changes anything about your music to my ears.
I feel like people that are going to be excited. Ooh, never mind. I got it. Keturah. I think it's Keturah.
Okay.
Really excited to be away from.
I'm similarly thinking about Emily, how she's like going to be happy to be with new people.
Oh, see, but Emily's now like on the top of her tribe. If it was going to be someone from Lulu, I would think Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still going to go with Emily. And the next boot, next person to go home, I'm going to stick with Bruce, who I said last week. Maybe he'll just be an immediate annoyance to new people. Fun Uncle
This
Bruce.
Is really hard because I don't know by. Who...
I mean, my guess is not really based off of what the new tribes are.
Right. I'm going to say Jemaya, because she has been, like, pretty absent from the editing, and I could see if she, like, kind of gets screwed over on a swap and gets voted out because of that, that the editors might be like, we don't want you to fall in love with this person when she gets screwed over by a twist. I don't know if that's actually a thing that they do at all with editing, but, you know, or maybe we just haven't seen much of her because she gets voted out early. So,
yeah, a couple of these tribes are going to be interesting.
I'm very excited. We haven't had a tribe swap. I mean, we kind of had one in season 44. That one
didn't we counted. Just have one?
Yeah, it was just like one person from each tribe. So
I
feel like that was more minor. This one's like, from what I can tell in the preview, a fully random everybody switch up, which is very fun.
Yeah. For season long prediction, idols in the game, we officially have two idols that developed this season from Austin and Sabaya.
Well, one of those is gone already.
Right. But we're just tracking how many are in there. And then non-idol advantages. We had a new one added this week with the goodwill advantage going to Drew. So we're up to two there. And then for unanimous votes, we had another one there. Sabaya getting voted out 2-1.
Yeah.
Which Patrick predicted too. So as long as there's no more for the season, he is correct.
Wait, no. That was not a unanimous vote.
Why not? It's 2-1.
Because Sabaya didn't vote. Sean voted for Caleb.
Okay. Fair enough. It was not Sabaya voting for somebody else. That's fair. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. You got any plugs this week?
Yeah. So I mentioned this last week, but it was not my luxury item. And so I'm going to make it my luxury item this week. Grey's Anatomy. I've been into Grey's Anatomy. I'm like almost through season 3 at this point. So, you know, only like 30 seasons to go.
I like 16.
Still a lot. I will say my theme through season 3, if this means something to you, great. If it doesn't, sorry. But my theme for season 3 has been Callie fucking deserves better.
Callie?
Yeah. Callie Torres deserves better.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
She does nothing wrong and gets shit on constantly. Big Callie fan over here. More Callie apologist, I guess. I don't even know if I love her that much. I just think that people are terrible to her and she deserves better.
There's a lot of Callie stuff to come, so just you wait.
Good.
Interesting. Season 3, like, that's very early in the Callie storyline. Like, she just got started, right?
I mean, she's married already.
Who's she married to?
Spoilers, I guess. She's currently married to George.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to worry too much about spoilers. This is from a season that aired, like, over 15 years ago.
Sure. But George's friends all hate her, and it's not fair. And then also George was shitty to her, and it's all not fair. And poor Callie.
Yeah. I mean, George has his own. Yeah. George has his own hang-ups, for sure.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I also recently cried for the first time watching Grey's Anatomy because of George's dad. So.
Okay. Interesting. So much stuff to happen in Grey's. You got a whole world ahead of you, man.
I very nearly cried with the whole Meredith storyline too. That one was rough for me.
The Meredith storyline? There's so many Meredith storylines. She's like the main person.
The Meredith as a patient storyline.
Yeah. I mean, that'll happen again. She's not a patient once. The show's on 19 seasons.
So I specifically have trauma and a hard time with storylines about drowning, and Meredith drowned and it seemed like she was dying. So yeah, that one was rough for me.
She will nearly die again, but not through drowning. That's her only drowning circumstance.
That's good.
All right, cool. I watched all of Grey's last year through half of the new season. They're currently airing or finished airing season 19, and I got like halfway through 19 and I was finally like, I don't care about any of these people anymore, I'm done. Because Meredith also leaves like partway through season 19, and once she left I was like, all right, I'm out, I'm done, I don't care about any.
Oh wow, people. I didn't realize that she was gone too.
Yeah. My plug will be escape rooms. I did my second escape room ever like a week or two ago. I did one a couple years ago and did another one just last weekend and loved it. It's fantastic. I love puzzles. Escape rooms are completely my vibe. I do those sort of puzzles like all the time. And so being able to do them like in person with other people on a clock, like where the pressure is on, is very interesting. And I like it a lot. I want to
keep doing it. We talked about this a little bit off podcast, but damn, I really love escape rooms. Mm-hmm. They're so fun. I wish that there were more of them and a little bit like more accessible, I guess, of just like they're kind of far from me and they're a little bit expensive. And so it feels like kind of a big deal to make it happen. But I love them. They're great.
Yep. All right, cool. Listeners, let us know what you're into. Are you watching Grey's Anatomy? Are you trying to escape rooms? Email us at travelcouncilpodcast@gmail.com, or that's it. That's the only way to contact us now. I don't have Twitter anymore.
I want them to do a full escape room as an immunity challenge.
That would be a good challenge. They could do that.
They could.
Mm-hmm. They should. Jeff, listen to us. We listen to your podcast. Why don't you listen to ours, Jeff? Huh?
Yeah, come on, Jeff.
Jeff Probst. What are you listening to out there?
If you are listening, recommend some music for us next week.
Yeah, Jeff, what are you listening to? You listen to Yacht Rock? I bet you got better options than that. Yacht Rock is fine, but I bet you got more than that. Daddy Jeff?
I bet he's listening to Jay Maya.
I bet he's not. He probably view it as like trying to be like partial to one. He's got to ignore them. He can't get partial.
I mean, he's done it before.
Well, yeah, but that was after the season.
This is going back a little bit. I did think of one reason why Jay Maya might not be edited very much is that I could see her like kind of constantly humming and singing, like the just like that is being like how she passes the time, and then being like, shit, we can't air any of this.
Yeah, but they like, I don't think so, because they like that rule is like for like 30 seconds or more or something. Like she could hum a little bit, and even if it matched tones, like they could air it.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know. I wonder if she's being more musical on the island than most contestants are, and that might cause problems.
Yeah. They did mention, because she said, was this the first time we found out Sifu was talking about being like musically inclined? They talked about that.
I think so, yeah.
And he like was strumming on the machete. I don't remember what his like Survivor bio, but it was not musician stuff.
No, it was all about Tai Chi and punching trees. Which is kind of like a percussion instrument, if you think about
it. His occupation was gym owner. Nothing music really related. So that was out of nowhere. When he said that, I was like, wait, what? I didn't know bad about you. So we'll see. Maybe he'll get more into the music, strumming on that machete. So listeners, let us know. Tell us about your music stuff, Grey's Anatomy, escape rooms, whatever. Email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week at Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yo, AI.